Ladies and gentlemen, social anxiety is not a personality flaw. It is a calibrated threat detection system, and telling yourself to just be confident, it just won't work. True confidence comes from specific actionable behavioral shifts, not just reciting positive affirmations that you have stuck to your mirror or stuck to your dashboard of your car. Picture this. You're sitting in a conference room. Your boss has just asked for your input. 20 people, their gaze all shifted over to you, and they're all waiting. Your throat closes. Your hands start to sweat. And in that frozen moment, you realize something that terrifies you more than the silence itself. Everyone can see it happening. This is the gap, not between you and success, but between the person you are in private and the person you need to be in public. And here's what no one tells you. The gap is not a personality flaw. It's a signal system that's just miscalibrated.
Welcome to Your Success DNA podcast, the go-to resource for entrepreneurs, business owners, and professionals who are ready to level up their lives. Your Success DNA podcast. Get ready to be inspired, motivated, and empowered to create the life that you truly want. We will be sharing tips, tricks, and mindset shifts that you need to achieve your wildest dreams. Your wildest dreams. Remember, your success is in your DNA.
Most people think social anxiety, sometimes called social phobia in clinical settings, is something that you're born with, that some brains are just wired for shyness, that you're either a natural extrovert or you're not. But neuroscience has actually revealed something darker and even more useful. Your social anxiety isn't about being broken. It's about your brain protecting you from a threat it thinks is real, a threat that, in your case, probably isn't. Specifically, your amygdala, that's your brain's threat detection center, has mislabeled social situations as dangerous environments requiring a defensive response, putting your dukes up. And once that label is set, it just runs automatically. Let's rewind for a minute. Let's go back 40 years ago. A psychologist named Albert Bandura discovered something called self-efficacy. It's not confidence exactly. It's something more precise. It's your belief in your ability to execute specific behaviors in specific situations. Bandura identified that one of the most powerful ways to build self-efficacy is through mastery experiences. That's small, repeated wins that prove to your brain that you can survive that situation. You might be confident at your kitchen table, but you're a completely different person in front of strangers. That's not inconsistency. That's context-dependent threat assessment. Your brain has labeled social situations as high-risk environments, and it's just running a protection protocol. Sounds safe, right? Okay. But here's where we want to get practical. When you avoid a social situation because of anxiety, something happens in your brain that makes it feel like a win in that moment. Your anxiety drops. The relief floods into your body. But what your nervous system actually learns is the situation was dangerous and I survived by escaping it. So the next time the threat feels even more real, the anxiety gets stronger and the avoidance gets easier. You're basically caught in a loop, and the loop has an architecture. And once you understand that architecture, you can begin to dismantle it piece by piece. The first piece is what I'm going to call the anticipatory spike. This is the anxiety you feel before the social interaction even begins. Not during, before. It's the Sunday night dread before the Monday morning meetings. It's the 30 minutes before you have to call someone. It's the morning of anxiety before a date. That spike is usually 70 to 80% of your total suffering. And here's what most people do not know. It's mostly entirely mental projection. Yeah, it's your brain running a simulation. It's playing out worst case scenarios with the detail of a Hollywood thriller. You fumble your words. People judge you. You become a social pariah. Those aren't predictions. Those are rehearsals. Cognitive behavioral therapists call these cognitive distortions. They're mental projections that your brain treats as a fact, even when the evidence does not support those facts. And every time you rehearse them, you're just strengthening the neural pathways that make them feel inevitable. The first practical step is to interrupt the rehearsal, not by fighting it. No, okay? That's exhausting, and really, it doesn't work. But by redirecting it. This is called attention deployment. When you notice the anticipatory spike beginning, that Sunday night dread feeling, that pre-call dread feeling, don't try to suppress it. No. Instead, do this. Name three specific things that you can see right now. And I'm not talking about generally like the room. No. Name them specifically. The coffee cup, the texture of your keyboard, the way the light hits the wall. Make it sensory and make it specific. Why does this work, you may ask? Well, I'm glad you asked, because anxiety lives in the future. Your nervous system is trying to protect you for something that hasn't even happened yet. So when you anchor your attention back into the present moment to things you can actually see, smell, hear, or touch, you're essentially telling your brain that threat isn't here. I'm safe right now. You're not denying the anxiety. You're just refusing to fuel it with more mental rehearsal, okay? Do this every single time the anticipatory spike hits. After about 2 weeks, something is going to start to shift. The spike will get quieter. It won't go away. It's not gone, but it's quieter. That's not accidental. That's your brain learning that the simulation, it wasn't quite accurate, okay? We're going to adjust accordingly. The second piece is the interaction itself. And here's where most advice that you get is going to fail you. People say, just be yourself. Everyone's too worried about themselves to judge you. And, you know, they're technically true, and it's completely useless when your system is in fight or flight mode.
Your Success DNA Podcast. Your success is in your DNA.
Okay, what actually is going to work for you is giving your brain a concrete job. Not be confident. That's far too vague. The anxiety will interpret vagueness as unpredictability, which feels dangerous, like I just told you a little bit ago. Instead, give yourself a specific behavioral target. Before you walk into the room, I want you to decide. I'm going to ask three people a question about themselves. That's it. That's what you say to yourself. Not make a great impression. Not I'm going to be charismatic. No, I'm going to ask three people a question about themselves. Three questions. Why is this specificity so powerful? Because it shifts your focus from how to be perceived to what am I doing to what you're doing. This is called external focus of attention, and research shows it reduces anxiety and actually improves performance. When you're focused on executing a concrete task, you're not running that mirror check loop in your head, that constant internal monitoring of how you appear to others, which is where social anxiety resides. You feel me? Okay. So you walk in, the first person you see, hey, what brought you here tonight? And then you listen to the answer. And then you ask one follow-up question based on what it is they said, which means you have to listen to them, right? Okay. Then you move on to the next person. Same process. By the time you have done this three times, something inside you has happened. You have had three successful interactions. Small ones, but real ones. Your brain has updated its threat assessment. This is exactly what exposure therapy does systematically. It creates repeated, graduated contact with the feared situation until your amygdala revises its threat assessment, its threat rating, its DEFCON rating begins to go down. You're just doing it in real time. And this is the beginning of rebuilding self-efficacy. But here's where it gets a little harder, because there's this third piece that no one out there seems to want to talk about. You know me, I'm willing to talk about all of it. There was the anticipatory spike. There was the concrete behavioral target. These work, but they work at the edge of your comfort zone, right? Right where the discomfort starts to live. And discomfort feels like danger to an anxious nervous system. So there's a moment, usually somewhere in the middle of the interaction, where your anxiety actually increases, not decreases. You're flushed. Your voice maybe sounds a little shaky. Your mind may even go a little foggy. This is what the psychologists call the extinction burst. And it's exactly what it sounds like. Right before a learned fear response dies, it gets super intense. It's like your brain is saying, wait, this threat, it used to work. Let me turn up the volume and see if that helps. Most people are going to interpret that sign is that they're doing it wrong, that the strategy isn't working. So what do? They retreat. They retreat back to avoidance and back into the old comfortable loop. The antidote is really, think about it, counterintuitive. You have to expect the extinction burst to come, and then you have to treat it as evidence that what you're doing is working. That's right, right? So before you go into a challenging social situation, you want to prime yourself. Okay, you're going to say something like, my anxiety is probably going to peak somewhere in the middle of this party, this situation, this concert, whatever it is. That's normal. That's actually a good sign. It means I'm breaking the loop. Acknowledge it. Then when it happens, and it will happen, you're not blindsided. You're not interpreting it as failure. You're recognizing it as what it is, the price of change. And here's what separates people who build genuine social confidence from people who just white knuckle their way through social situations. They actually lean into the discomfort moment instead of white knuckling their way through it. This is called acceptance and commitment, a framework designed by psychologist Stephen Hayes, who argued that psychological flexibility, not the elimination of discomfort, Psychological flexibility is the real measure of mental health. You're not trying to make the anxiety go away. You're not trying to hide it. You're not performing confidence that you don't really feel. You're literally saying, the feeling is here, it's uncomfortable, but I'm going to act like a confident person anyway. The feeling doesn't have to leave. You don't have to believe you're confident. You just have to act like it despite the feeling. I know. It sounds fake. It feels fake when you first start, but here's the magical part. That doesn't matter because your brain doesn't learn from what you believe. It learns from what you actually do and do repeatedly. Behavioralists call this behavior to belief pathway. You act confident first, the confidence follows, not the other way around. You don't wait for the confidence so that you can start to act confident. And there's a fourth piece that I've been building towards, and it requires honesty. Some of your social anxiety isn't all about the social interaction at all. Nope, I'm sorry to tell you this. Some of it is about a deeper fear that maybe you haven't named, a fear of judgment. Yeah, that could be it. But specifically, a fear that if people really knew you, that they wouldn't like you. A fear that there's something fundamentally unacceptable about who you are. A fear that confident means exposure and exposure means rejection. And this is the false floor that I have been walking you towards this whole episode. Because the real social anxiety cure isn't about eliminating anxiety. It's about becoming a perfect conversationalist and learning a few psychological tricks along the way. It's about deciding that being known is worth the risk of being rejected. Some people will like you. That's just it. That's just playing the numbers. And some people won't. Sorry, you can't. Not everyone's going to like you. That's all there is to it. And the people worth knowing are the ones who actually like you, that like you, not the performed version of you. And this is where, this is where the work gets a bit existential. Because once you accept that, your whole relationship to social situations can change. You're not performing for approval anymore. You're not the dancing monkey up on the stage. You're not trying to manage everyone's perception of you. You're showing up as yourself and you're letting the chips fall. But here's the trap. Here's what makes this morally complicated. Most people who build self-confidence this way don't realize that they're becoming something different. They're becoming selectively vulnerable. They share just enough to seem authentic, but not enough to risk rejection. They've learned the performance of authenticity, and it works. It gets the job, the relationship, and it gets the social status in most cases. But they're still not really known yet. They've just gotten better at the game. The real cure requires actually being known. It requires saying something true in a room where you might be judged for that truth. It requires asking for help. It requires admitting you don't know something when you don't. It requires being wrong in front of people and admitting that you were wrong. It requires being visible, truly visible. Most people never take that step because that is infinitely scarier than small talk techniques. Small talk techniques are a whole lot easier. But here's where we are, right? Here's where you are. You can rebuild your self-efficacy. You can interrupt anticipatory spikes. You can lean into extinction bursts. You can ask questions and you can execute behavioral targets. You can become a functionally, socially adept person and you still might feel lonely. Or you can go further. You can use confidence not as a tool to win social approval, but as a shield that lets you be authentically yourself in social spaces. Not performed authenticity, real pull the mask down and set it up on the shelf authenticity, the kind that terrifies you because rejection actually means something when it happens. Yeah, when you get rejected, it's because they saw you and they just didn't like you. Fine, that's okay. Let them go about their worlds. How many other people saw you and did like you? The practical steps work. The behavioral architecture works. But the real cure is deciding what you want to be known for and then risking that in front of others. Everything else is just rehearsal. Think successfully and take action.
Thanks for listening to Your Success DNA podcast. Whether you're starting out or you're a seasoned entrepreneur, we have the tools and inspiration that you need to take your life to the next level. So stay tuned for more game-changing advice in our upcoming episodes. And hey, before you go, a quick reminder to check out our past episodes of Your Success DNA for more inspiring stories and practical advice. And if you've loved what you heard, leave us a review and share this podcast with your friends and colleagues. Let's all level up our lives together, shall we? Remember, your success is in your DNA.